we're asking you to please get your Bibles. Let us go to the book of Matthew. Book of Matthew. I want us to look at chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. See what thus saith the Lord to us this morning. Matthew, the 20th chapter, verse 5. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here. For he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. We thank God for the reading of those two verses. And this morning, God has given me to preach from this subject, the importance of Jesus' resurrection. The importance of Jesus' resurrection. As we look at Matthew, those two verses, we find out that the women came looking for Jesus, but he had told them before he went to the cross that destroy this temple in 3 days, he would build it again. In other words, he was going to die, but he was going to get up. And Jesus stands out from all other leaders that's been in the world. A lot of them, they have some thought that they were going to get up too. But all those other leaders, they're yet in the grave. But Jesus is the only one who said he was going to die, but on the third day, he would get up. And on this third day, as the women went there Sunday looking for a body, he wasn't there. Oh, I thank God for Jesus because he's a God of truth. What he says, he will do. So as we look at that he had said what he was going to do, and he did what he said. So I want to just point out a few things for us who are children of God and others who are maybe not children of God, why it was important that Jesus got up. Why it was important that on that Sunday morning when they went there, he wasn't there. The first point I want us to look at, that it's important that he got up because he had conquered death. Yeah. Hebrews, if you would, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, Hebrews the second chapter, and I'm looking at verse 14. For as much then as children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. And we know that Jesus came here and he identified with us because he was born of a human mother, had a human body. He came in flesh and blood like we did. But he said he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. Amen. He came and he conquered death. He came and he destroyed him that had the power of death, and that is the devil. Amen. As we already listen to verse 15, and delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. And we know that mankind had sinned. Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. They brought death into the world. And everybody born after Adam and Eve, we were born as sinners. And the death penalty was upon us. So those of us who were born in sin, all we could look forward to was one day we're going to die. And we had heard about that place that God had prepared. It's a place of punishment where there's fire and brimstone. It's a place of punishment. It's a place of outer darkness. And people lived in this world, and that's all they could think about. And what can I do? You know, and when we find out that what was required, we couldn't do. Amen. What God required was that we had to die for our sins. So we were in a bad state that I guess we could just say we were in a hopeless state. Amen. Because our future was not bright. But I thank God that He's a loving Father. I thank God that He cares for us. Yes, it's not God's will that any should perish. God has made a way. God made a way. And God sent His only Son. Amen. And His only Son came in the form of a human body. And He came here in order to help us, pitiful people, on our way to the burning fire. But thank God, God sent His Son here to be our substitute. Amen. Jesus came here as the Savior of the world, but yet He humbled Himself to death. Because God sent Jesus here, we got to keep on remembering this. Jesus' mission was to save His people from their sin. Jesus came here to die. And thank God, He in the Garden of Gethsemane, He prayed, "Father, not my will, but thine be done." So we were under the authority of the devil. Now the devil has power. The Bible says he's the prince of the power of the air. But I want you to remember this. He doesn't have the power that God has. Amen. His power is limited. He can do some things because God allows it. But God gives him limitations. He can't go beyond what God allows. And I thank God there's a God that has authority over the devil. Amen. So Jesus came that He would destroy him that had the power of death. That is the devil. And deliver them, that's us, who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Thank God Jesus came to conquer death, saints. Jesus came to help us. He came to deliver us. All right, let's look at 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Listen what it says. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Jesus abolished death because Jesus is the life giver. And what Jesus does when He saves us, He gives us eternal life. And if you have eternal life, we are not fearful of dying. Thank God, because we can live and we will live forever. Amen. I thank God. And we know there's a time come and say there's it's appointed unto man wants to die, but after death, the judgment. But this is what we need to keep in mind. When you're in the ark of safety, when you've been born again, when Jesus is your Savior, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Oh, I thank God. So Jesus came to abolish death and has brought life and immortality to the light through the gospel. So it was important that Jesus got up out of the grave because He had to show the world that He had conquered death. Let's look at another point. Why is it important that Jesus' resurrection? Because He became our intercessor. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Romans, the 8th chapter. Romans chapter 8, and I want to look at verse 34. Romans chapter 8, verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also make intercession for us. Thank God that He got up and He's now sitting by the right hand of the Father so that He will be our intercessor. As we cry out for mercy and we pray and ask for help, he's there on our behalf. Thank God he's there to represent us. He's there to make sure that our prayers get through when we cry out for salvation. That he's sitting at the right hand of God who makes an intercession for us. Amen. Thank God. You know, Jesus died for us. Amen. He gave his life for us. And he's there. When we cry out for mercy, he'll give us mercy. When we repent of our sins, amen, he will forgive us of our sins. Amen. When we cry out and say, Lord, save me, thank God. When you come to him with a broken heart and a broken spirit, he will save you. The Bible says if you ask for the Holy Ghost, he'll give it to you. Can I get a witness in here? Amen. One day we came humble, broken heart and broken spirit and acknowledged that we were sinners and cried out to Jesus and said, Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, I'm a sinner. Lord, forgive me of my sins. And he saved us. He forgave us because he said if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we are living witnesses today that God, that Jesus, thank God, he was our intercessor. Oh, thank God that God loved us. He and Jesus died for us when we were his enemies. Thank God. What enemy going to die for somebody? Amen. Mama's not going to die for the children. Amen. But Jesus died for us. We didn't love him. We weren't obeying him. We were not followers of Jesus. We were under the authority of the devil. But he gave his life for us. Amen. To make us good people. Let me say it that way. Good people. Because when he saves us, he grafts us into a good tree. And a good tree produces good fruit. He makes us holy people. Oh, thank God for Jesus. You know, nobody can come to God except through Jesus. Amen. And I thank God that we have an intercessor. And not only that, let's look at Hebrews 7th chapter. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. As we look at Jesus being our intercessor. Hebrews 7:25 reads, wherefore, well, first of all, I said, but this man, verse 24, but this man, talking about Jesus, because he continueth ever, he hath an unchangeable priesthood. All the priests that were before Jesus, they're dead and in the grave. But Jesus' priesthood is unchangeable. What does that mean? On your job, when you have a supervisor and you've been working for him, you know how he operates and he knows who he can depend on. But then sometimes they get promoted, they retire, and then they get a new one. And when they get a new one, they got to start all over again. Let's take it to the Bible. When the children of Israel were in Egypt, the Pharaoh that knew Joseph died. And before he died, Joseph had favor with him. Amen. But then when he died, they got a new Pharaoh. And he didn't know Joseph like the other one did. So the children of Israel came under even more difficult situations. Now, it says here in the scripture that Jesus continued ever, and he hath an unchangeable priesthood. In other words, Jesus is our priest forever. We don't have to learn a new priest. We don't have to learn how he operates. Amen. The saints of old, they were saved by faith in his coming. And those of us who live after he came, it was faith in his being here and being resurrected from the dead. Faith. Faith is what helped all of us. So it says his priesthood is unchangeable. What the Bible says in the Old Testament about Jesus, it's the same. because the Bible says he changes not. All right, so since he has an unchangeable priesthood, the rules are not going to change. Look what verse 25 says. It says, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Ever liveth. Not another priesthood. Not another priest. Jesus, our everlasting priest. And he is the Savior of the world. In other words, he can save us to the uttermost. Thank God for Jesus that we don't have to try to learn a new priest. Our priest, who the Bible says he changes not, and what's been recorded about of him in the Bible is true. Amen. And we don't have to try to figure out, well, what this one is going to do. No, we know what Jesus is going to do. Jesus wants us to repent of our sins. Jesus wants us to come to him. Jesus wants us to believe in him who died for us. Jesus wants us to come to the Father through him. God wants us to have faith in Jesus. Jesus wants us to know that the only way that we can be saved is to repent of our sins and come to him. And that has not changed. Before we got here, while we're here, and when we're gone, it's not going to change. Everybody that comes to Jesus, come to God, and to become a Christian, they got to come through Jesus. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the door. He said, no man can come unto the Father except by me. Thank God, saints. We don't have to try to figure out what is it this week. What is it next month? It's the same. Get in your Bible and pray and ask God to give you the faith. Because Jesus is our Savior. Thank God for Jesus. He's able to save to the uttermost them that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make an intercession for them. Jesus can't die. He's life. And once he got up, that's it. He's not coming back every Easter and die. Oh, he's sitting on the right hand of the Father. And he's alive. We sang the song. He's alive, and he's alive forevermore. Thank God for Jesus. So the importance of Jesus' resurrection so far, we see that he conquered death. And the next thing we find out, he's our intercessor. Aren't you glad that we have someone who will speak on our behalf? Jesus is the one that speaks on our behalf. Amen. And then the next point I want us to look at, he got up, he was resurrected for our justification. Let's go to Romans. If you read Romans chapter 4. See what scripture has to tell us. Romans, the 4th chapter. And when you get that, I want us to look at verse 25. Romans 4, 25. Our justification. Who was delivered for our justification and was, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification? Jesus was delivered for our sins. When Jesus was on the cross, it was not because of his sins, it was our sins. Amen. He was our substitute. So he was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our right, for our justification. Jesus, it's important that he got up so that we could be righteous. If Jesus didn't get up, you know none of these things would have taken place. He had to get up because he had other things to complete. So he got up so that we could be made righteous. Amen. He justified us. Amen. He paid the penalty, and God accepted him paying the penalty for us so we could be made righteous people. What an exchange. He took our sin bearer so we could be made righteous. Thank God for Jesus. Because if he hadn't paid our sin debts, we would have had to pay them. Oh, he is our justification. Let's look at chapter 5, verse 1. It says, therefore, being justified by faith. Faith. You got to have faith. He to come to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Being justified, being made righteous by faith. What faith? Faith in the redemptive work of Jesus. Faith that he was born of a virgin. Faith that he died for our sins. Faith that he was resurrected. Amen. Faith that he is the only one that can forgive us of our sin. Justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Look what Jesus has done for us. We were enemies of God, but Jesus brought about peace. But look what the peace cost us, cost Jesus. It cost him his life. That's why we love Jesus so much. Jesus died for us. Jesus was nailed to the cross for our sins. Jesus never committed sins. Oh, but now because he paid our sin debts, the scriptures say we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And look what else it said, by whom also we have access by faith in this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. It's time to rejoice, saints. Amen. We are no longer, you can be delivered from being an enemy of God to being a child of God. You can now call him when Jesus saved you, he can call him Abba Father because he is your father. He said that we will be his sons and his daughters. Amen. We will be heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. It's time to rejoice. We are no longer outcasts. We are a part of the family of God. We are God's children. Thank God for Jesus and what he's done for us. Let's look at the ninth verse. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Glory, hallelujah, thank you. The wrath of God, eternal damnation, the place that he's made for punishment of those who do not have faith in Jesus and who are not his children. A place where it'll be out of darkness and weeping and gnashing of the teeth. Amen. It's a place where people will be there forever. Thank God for Jesus. He paid our sin debt, so we are no longer under the wrath of God. We are in the family of God. And if you're in the family of God, we are not concerned about going to the place of punishment. Heaven is our home. We are citizens of heaven because when God saves us, our names are recorded in the Lamb's book of life. Amen. And God has promised us in his word that he would not blot it out. Thank God our names are there. And when we leave here, we don't be know who are you. He knows who we are. We are his children. Thank God for Jesus, saved from wrath through him. Look at verse 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Enemies. The enemies of God are going to the lake of fire. So about said before, if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. See, Jesus made a way so that we no longer be enemies. We were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Then he said, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Saved by his life. Jesus died so that we could be children of God, so we could be saved. Thank God for Jesus. That's why I love Jesus so much. Amen. He took my punishment so that I could have a life of eternal happiness and joy in heaven so that my name would be written in the Lamb's book of life. So it was important that Jesus get up for our justification. And the last point I want us to look at, it was important that Jesus got up. He was resurrected so that he would send us a comforter. Let's go to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. John, the 16th chapter, verse 7. John chapter 16, verse 7 says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." It was important that Jesus got up so that when his time up on earth and he went to heaven, he was going to send a Comforter into the world. And he said if he didn't go, he couldn't send. But thank God he got up and he went back to glory and he kept his word and he sent the Comforter back to us. Now let's see what he's talking about as we look at John, the 14th chapter. John chapter 14, verse 26 reads, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." The Comforter is the Holy Ghost. Thank God that Jesus sent us he told his disciples he was going away, but he was going to give them another Comforter. And that Comforter is the Holy Ghost. And I thank God for the Holy Ghost that lives in us today. I thank God for the power of God that lives in us through in the form of the Holy Ghost. And it will lead us and guide us and direct us. And it will help us to see the ways of God's way. It will help us to open our understanding so we can live a life that's pleasing to God. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost in us, the Bible let us know the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. I thank God for the Spirit of God that dwells in us. And because we have the Spirit of God in us, we can do what God says. I thank God that Jesus got up and sent us the Holy Ghost. But one day we're going to see him face to face. One day we're going to see him and thank God for the Holy Ghost, because you need the Holy Ghost in order to meet him in the midair. Amen. If you don't have the Spirit of God, when Jesus come back on the clouds of glory, he's not coming to the earth. He's going to stop in the elements, on the clouds of glory. And the people of God, those who are alive, will meet him. Those that's in the grave, they're going to get that body, is going to get up. And all of us are going to get a new glorified body. It's because we are children of God. We have the Spirit of God in us. I thank God that Jesus got up and he sent us another Comforter. And that Comforter will live with us and abide with us forever. I thank God. It was important that Jesus was resurrected. Because as I close, if he was not resurrected, we will yet be sinners. But thank God he got up. And today we're living witnesses that we are no longer sinners, but we are children of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Repeat after me. Thank God for Jesus and his resurrection. Will everyone please stand?